Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If somebody else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks very much. We have a bit of a double talk this morning on the subject of giving. And before Chris comes to talk to us a bit more about that passage, Mark's going to come and talk to us about the practicalities of giving. We have some leaflets, which I'm sure Mark will mention here, but they are at the back. So please do take one on your way out. Mark?
Thank you, Lisette. Good morning, everyone. If you don't know me, I'm Mark Parsons. I'm operations manager here at Christchurch. And one of my great privileges is, along with a whole load of other things that I do, is to look after our church finances and our giving. And the giving that we as a family give to enable us to cover our family costs and to bless our local community. And over this week at Christchurch, we're having a generosity week. We've been focusing on that at our gatherings on Sunday and again today. And I just want to take a few moments now just to talk about what it means to be able to give generously to our family at Christchurch. And I want to give you four very practical things to think about as you think about how you might respond to the prompting of our Father in terms of giving. So just four very practical things. They are: give regularly, give a planned amount, tell us about it, and gift aid it if you can. And I'm just going to go through those very quickly, and then I'm going to pray for Chris, and Chris will come and speak to us further. So the first one, give regularly. One-off gifts are really amazing, aren't they? But do you know what really makes a difference to us as a family at Christchurch is when we commit to giving regularly. I guess a lot of us receive our income regularly. I get my income once a month. And our church costs are regular as well. Most of our bills go out once a month. And so we just simply ask that if you're able to, you commit to giving to us regularly. Secondly, a planned amount. And this is about getting intentional before God and asking God how much you should give. We reckon that next year it's going to cost us about £48,000 a month at Christchurch. And you may not know this, but 90% of that comes directly from us, from the church family. We don't really have any other sources of income other than a bit of rental income and a bit of interest. It's all down to us, isn't it? And that sounds like a huge number, but it's something like about £100 per month for everyone who's a member of Christchurch. And so it's about getting intentional before God and asking him what he's prompting you to give. Some people ask us for guidance. They say, how much should I be giving? And in the Old Testament, it talks about the principle of tithing. But, you know, we're actually New Testament people, aren't we? And so let's not get stuck on a particular percentage. That percentage may be helpful in terms of thinking and praying, but it's not the limit. It's the launch pad into what it means to be generous. And myself this week, I found myself, as I was thinking about this and praying about this, being prompted by God each time. I felt like I'd settled on an amount to give. God prompted me further and further on that. So please do be praying about how much God is prompting you to give and asking him to tell you. And you may find, as you do this, that actually your circumstances have changed and you need to reduce your giving rather than increase it. And that's absolutely fine as well. So we're all in different seasons of life. The key thing is to get intentional before God. So give regularly, give a planned amount. The third thing is to tell us about it. We love unexpected gifts. They're great, aren't they? But actually, if you are giving regularly and you're giving a planned amount, please tell us about it. That's really helpful because there's so much that we want to do as a church family to bless our community and to support each other. And it just helps us to plan if we know what's coming in over the coming year. And equally, if your circumstances are changing and you need to reduce your giving, tell us about it as well. There's no embarrassment about that. We don't mind. It just helps us to plan ahead. So give regularly, a planned amount. Tell us about it. And the last thing is to gift aid it if you can. If you're a taxpayer and you gift aid your gift to us, if you're giving £100, the government will give us another £25 just by filling in a simple gift aid form. And that's just a blessing to us. So four simple things as you think about your response to our generosity week. Give regularly, give a planned amount, tell us about it, and gift aid it if you can. I'm going to pray for Chris, and then Chris is going to take us further into God's word on this matter. Let's do that. Father, we thank you that we can only be generous because you are generous to us. And we pray, Father, as we consider our response to your prompting and to the words that Chris will share with us, that you will open our hearts to you. And we pray, Father, for Chris as he speaks, Lord, that you would give him words from your Spirit to say. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning. I'm just going to move this microphone out of the way, if that's okay, for now. Because I've going to have a little bit of travelling to do as I speak, so I want to just not be tied to a microphone. It's great to be with you this morning, and I always love coming here to be with you on a Wednesday, and thank you for having me. And I'm going to share with you this morning something that I shared with the church family on Sunday. So some of you may have heard it already. Sorry if that's the case, but others of you might not. And I want to start really by saying that when we come to talk about money and giving and all of that kind of stuff, that in a room like this, there will be all kinds of different situations financially, and that's absolutely fine. Some people will be really struggling financially, and some people will be in a completely different position. Again, and that's absolutely fine. We're all in different situations, and it's worth recognizing that this morning. But I don't want to focus primarily on the physical and the practical elements of money this morning with you, because Mark's just done some of that. What I want to do is to focus on what I believe the Bible really focuses on when it comes to money, and what Jesus focuses on, which is about the heart. It's about the heart and the motivation of giving. That's what Jesus is often talking about and pointing towards in the Gospels. It's the heart and the motivation. And I think the Bible's really clear when it comes to discipleship that discipleship is about this journey of moving towards giving everything. Jesus is asking us for everything. That's what discipleship and this journey that we're all on together is about. It's journeying towards everything. And our money and our finance and our giving is all a part of that journey towards everything. So, I don't know if you would admit to being a competitive type of person, but my daughter, one of my daughters, my eldest, who is nearly 10, is a very competitive young woman, very competitive indeed. And she gets that from me because I am also quite competitive. And the other day I was talking to Jessica because I was trying to encourage her gently to encourage her younger sister, because Jessica likes to win all the time, and that can be hard for her younger sister, because Jessica is generally bigger and stronger and older and all the things that an older sibling has. I'm the eldest sibling and I had the same thing. So I was trying to encourage her about this, but she turned to me in our conversation and she just said to me, "But Daddy, winning is everything. Winning is everything." And I thought that was a really interesting phrase. Winning is everything. And for me growing up, I played a lot of sport, and for me, I really enjoyed winning. And I found the process of losing quite hard. Because it's hard to learn how to lose, isn't it? Particularly as a young person, and even some of us as we get older, learning to lose is quite difficult. And I remember playing in sports teams and those moments where you lose and finding it difficult. I remember someone turning to me at various points and saying, "But winning isn't everything. Winning isn't everything." And I think in our verses today, in Philippians, we see in this passage and in the person who writes to the church in Philippi, Paul, we see a person who, when it comes to a certain definition of life, was absolutely winning at life. He writes this list, doesn't he, in verse 4, I think it is. This list of things that qualify him as someone who is winning at life, doing so well by one particular standard. But as he came to know Jesus and as he came into the revelation of who Jesus was and is, and he discovered that, what he found was is that all that stuff that what he describes as gain to him, the things that made him win, he was winning at life, those things then, comparatively to knowing Jesus, became a loss. Those things were now not worth what they might have been before he knew Jesus. Because winning isn't everything. When it comes to our faith, Jesus is everything. I'm not a very financial kind of a person, which is why I brought you my clothes dryer. But in finance, you hear these phrases, don't you, around gains and losses. Financial people sometimes talk about gains and losses, and here in our verses today, we also have an interesting dialogue around gains and losses. And Paul brings us this in our amazing verses that were read to us by Colin just a few moments ago. But before we talk about gains and losses, I want to look at something just slightly different that comes before that in the verses previous. And I want to just pick out the fact that as Paul begins in this particular chapter, and he's writing to the church in Philippi, where he starts in our verses is he's actually writing a warning to the church in Philippi against the people who are still believing that following the law and following the rules and doing all the stuff on the outside is still the way to obtain salvation. And of course, that isn't the case now because it's about grace. And that's what it means to live in the new covenant. But Paul's warning the church in Philippi against these people. And as he does that, what happens is that we find that he goes on to describe this idea of where he puts his confidence. And I wanted to read to you what another translation says and the words that they use in these verses here, which is verse 3. Okay? So verse 3, translated in a different translation, says this: "For we Christians are the true circumcision, who worship God in spirit and by the Spirit of God, and exalt and glory and pride ourselves in Jesus Christ. And we put no confidence or dependence on what we are in the flesh, and on outward privileges and physical advantages and external appearances." That's how another translation translates that verse 3 in Philippians 3. And there's a key word in that translation, which is the word dependence. It says, we put no confidence or dependence on what we are, or this, or the external things that are going on here. And the word dependence is a really interesting word, and something we've talked about in this church before. And dependence, there's this, the bit in the word dependence, which pend, P-E-N-D, the pend bit, you'll find that in a few other different words. So words like pendulum or suspend or pendant. What it means is literally to hang down or to hang on. So when it comes to dependence, what dependence means is it's all about what we hang our lives on. What we allow to hold the weight of our life. That's what that literally means. So when we become dependent on something, we're placing the weight of our lives on that thing to hold us up. That's what that means. And so here we see that Paul begins to write about these things, these external things over here, things that he was winning at life. So he writes this very impressive list: circumcised on the eighth day to the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. And he goes on and he writes this list. And he says, if anyone has reason to be confident in the flesh, the external stuff, it's me. And some of us today might have the same reaction. Maybe we have all these amazing reasons to put confidence in all the external things. Maybe we have a real reason to hang the weight of our life on this stuff over here. But the challenge of dependence is that it can be really easy to hang the weight of our lives, to be dependent on things that were never designed to bear that weight. So when it comes to money and maybe career or physical appearance or whatever the things that we read about, it can be really easy to bear our lives, to bear the weight by those things. And those things were never designed to bear the weight of our lives, because what happens when those things disappear? When the money goes, when the career ends, when the house falls through, what happens when that disappears? We find that our dependence was maybe founded in the wrong place. And so when it comes to this idea of gains and losses, let's go back to that, because as Paul goes on, he writes that impressive list, verses 4 and 5 and 6, and then he says this in verse 7. He says, well, but whatever was gained to me, whatever these things were, all this stuff I just listed, whatever was gained to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord, and for whose sake I have lost all things. And so, sometimes in our faith and in our relationship with Jesus, we actually have to lose some gains and make some losses. And I don't know what you would put in your bucket of gains. Like, I don't know what your impressive list would be that Paul writes his impressive list. This is what qualified me in the world, is what he's saying. And I don't know what you would put in your bucket of things that might qualify you from the world's perspective, the things that were of gain to you. And maybe it's just like stuff that you have, Maybe that helps. Maybe you could put that in your gains bucket. Maybe, because Jesus puts it a slightly different way, doesn't he? In Matthew 6, I think it is, he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be found. That's what he says. So maybe we've been storing, building up a treasure trove on earth. We've got all the earthly treasure, and that's what validates us, and we've got this going on. Maybe for you, maybe it is money. Maybe your dependence is money, and you put that in your gain bucket, and that's what qualifies me. That's what helps me. Maybe it's, as this other translation that I just read to you, maybe it's outward privilege, and that's your gain, or maybe it's physical advantage. I don't know. Maybe it's outward appearance, like the translation said, and you can just pop that, and you're building up this, we're gaining stuff all the time. I don't know what's in your bucket. But the language in the passage is really interesting, because what happens is that Paul uses his gains plurally. So he counts them all up. I've got this gain and this gain and this gain and this gain and this gain. And my gain bucket is full up. But when it comes to the loss, what in the language in the passage, what it does is actually he says he bundles up all his gains into one. And the language becomes singular at that point. And so he bundles all of his gains up and he says, well, actually, compared to knowing Jesus, all these individual gains are now just one big loss. Just one big, huge loss. Because knowing Jesus is of greater value to me than any of the others. And so when it comes to our approach to discipleship and knowing Jesus, of which money and giving is a part, we can't get away from that. I wonder, what are we dependent on? What do we hang the weight of our life on? What is our gain bucket full of? And how might we learn actually to lose some of the gains and make some losses? Because Paul said that compared to knowing Jesus, all the things I compare that it's nothing. He says they're garbage to me, rubbish in comparison to knowing Jesus. And so when it comes to our money and our giving, you know, 2 Corinthians 9 talks, in fact, I'll read it. I'm coming to the end of my time, but I want to just read to you from 2 Corinthians 9. Paul writes this to the church in Corinth. He says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. You know, that word cheerful is not a very good translation of what the word really means. The closest word we get in English is actually hilarious. Hilarious. And so when we come to think about giving and money, particularly, when it says God loves a cheerful giver, the closest word is actually hilarious. And that paints a slightly different picture to us about the way we approach giving and money. It's not just that we're told not to be reluctant. It's actually that we're called to do it with joy. And it's a great privilege. And it's part of our calling and our freedom in Jesus is to learn how to give with joy. That's part of our discipleship. But it all comes under the idea of dependence. If my dependency is on Jesus, if he is everything, then my approach to money and my approach to giving is really different. And the great thing is, as Paul writes in these verses in Philippians, that it's a process, isn't it? He says later on, verses 12, Not that I've already obtained all of this. I'm not there yet. I've not got it all yet. It's a process. And we're all on that journey together. And so, just as we've done with our 8 o'clock community and our 10 o'clock community on Sunday, we want to do the same with you guys as a midweek Wednesday community, to say, what might your response be when it comes to this, into the future life of our church together? And so I want to just pause for just a minute or two and to allow you to pray and to think. And then as we sing our final hymn and we wrap up our gathering together, there'll be one of the buckets will be here somewhere at the front, and there'll be one we'll put at the back. And if you are ready and willing to put one of the forms into that, then we'd love that. If you're not ready to do that, that's absolutely fine, and there'll be another opportunity to do that at future weeks, or you can do it whenever you want, essentially. So why don't we pause and take a moment to pray, and then we can sing together to finish. We pray, Father, that in the stillness and the quiet, that you would be speaking to our hearts and our minds. We thank you for the call that you give us towards everything. And we thank you for the invitation to be joyful and free givers. And we pray that you would help us with that where we need it. And we ask, Father, that you would help us in our dependency, and that we would learn more and more about what it is to depend on you. And we ask this in Jesus' name.